Oh, Mac, whilst in a Costco getting my son some of his formula, I come across a beautiful, beautiful item.
Behold my stuff.
Should I have bought it? The answer is yes, Mac, because...
Eating seeds is the best time activity.
A giant baseball jar jug-sized 50 bags of sunflower seeds. What's good?
Now, of course, you know, anyone that played baseball back in the day always had seeds on the weekend. And I was never the biggest seed guy. Like, I liked them. But my issue becomes what you figure out after eating one mouthful of seeds. You need a spitting cup with you always.
I'll have a spitting cup. I'm fine with that. I'm going to
leave
these seeds.
That is such a burden on your everyday life.
I'm going to leave these seeds in my office with me at all times. And just whenever I want a nice nosh, have some seeds.
Are you going to use the Care Bears cup as your spit cup?
No. I'm not going to use like an actual cup. I'll get like a plastic cup or something and spit into there.
See,
you know, much like one would do if they're having chew or something. But my chew is seeds. Now, when I played baseball, carrot sign facing seeds over gum. And if we're talking gum in general, I prefer chewing on like a bottle cap over gum.
Yeah, I mean, because the gum loses its flavor no matter what gum it is. And,
exactly.
And you got to pipe a new piece of gum. But I guess it's like seeds. Seeds only last you a half inning or whatever you got in your lip.
I used to put so many seeds in my back pocket, and then like games later, I would find them again. But I also never washed my baseball pants.
So there was always seeds floating around
the pocket. A little extra spicy on there.
You now have a small child in the home, and now you have now introduced a gigantic choking hazard.
What? What choking hazard?
The thousands of seeds in that bucket.
It is in a baseball bucket size container that'll always
have
a cover on.
You're telling me you're not going to drop not one, not a single seed on the floor.
No. I'm not allowed to drop food on the floor. What are you kidding me? Also, I probably shouldn't have chewed on those bottle caps. I needed braces 3 times.
Really?
Yeah.
I never needed braces. They gave me a retainer for my bottom. I wore it for like 3 months and said, not for me. No thanks.
I had it when I was in third grade. Sixth grade.
That is early braces.
Yeah, I needed one of those chin cups. I didn't even really have an underbite. I don't even know why they did that to me, but I guess it was preventative, so thank you. And then once again in the ninth grade, but then actually 4 times, because when I went to broadcasting school, I had little chiclet teeth, and I'm like, I don't want these. What if I want to be on TV? And that hasn't happened yet, nor will it happen. But here we are. My chiclet teeth are just normal-sized teeth now.
Did you get veneers?
No. They brought the teeth properly forward and properly back, and it all evened itself out. If Invisalign wants to sponsor the podcast, we're in.
I'll take some Invisalign.
Absolutely.
I mean, the issue is, especially when you start sharing a bedroom with someone, wearing that shit in your mouth is just incredibly unattractive. Like a retainer
and shit
like that.
It's an invisible retainer. They don't even know.
I know, but it's still there.
You know what the real issue is?
Gunk still builds up.
After a while, it stinks.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Stinks. Gunk builds up. And there's like no good way to clean it besides putting it in bleach or something.
I know.
Then you put it in bleach and then you got to put it back in your mouth.
And then she like watches me try to like brush it with my toothbrush. She's like, that's gross still. What
there's no manly way. There's no attractive way on planet Earth for someone to clean their retainer.
One goo, three, yeah.
Mac and goo.
Jaws 3.
Mac and goo.
King of Queens.
Mac and goo.
Meryl Streep.
Mac goo.
Entertainment.
I am goo.
And I am Mac.
And
Behold
we're the...
Well,
shut up. Okay, put it down for a second. We're the Mac and Goo program. We bring you friendship. Mac.
Behold my stuff.
Ooh. What are you holding, buddy?
So, the other day, Target had a really good deal on a set of headphones I looked at a while ago. 150 off these over-ear Beats. And I currently had my old Beats were on-ear, which are not nearly as comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like them that much, but I've had them for 8 years. I've had them forever. They've lasted forever. So I've been looking to upgrade. So I ordered them online at Target, but it was like a two-hour pickup. I said, you know what? I'll just go to Target and start shopping. Start looking
around. Go for an old walk-around.
Start browsing.
I love it.
And what do I find? A Peter B. Parker figure.
That's nice.
For $19.99.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got all movable parts, switchable heads. It's a great figure for $20.
Hey, man, you know my rule. If it's under $29.99, buy it.
Yeah, well, that was the other thing. Like, if this was $29.99, I probably wouldn't have bought it. But at $20, perfect price.
Should you have bought it? Hell yeah.
This is how we do it.
Mac, what are we doing today?
Today, we got real lazy and we said, hey, folks, give us episode ideas, and boom, that's the episode. An episode of episode ideas. We've inceptioned you once again. A bunch of you on the Twitter machine gave us episode ideas, and we're going to run through them here and sort of do, what, 20 mini episodes within this episode?
Yeah, so let's go ahead and jump right into Mac Sack.
Let's get into Mac Sack.
And Mac Sack could be anything. It could be a boat. And this week it is brought to you by Manscaped.com. Mac, the summer season. Now, we're in the spring season right now, but the summer season is when you got to let it fly. And
yes.
You need confidence to let it fly. And what gives you confidence? Nice, smooth bottoms.
And the whole thing is, right, summer comes around, you're wearing a lot more shorts, there's a lot less belts. What might happen? You might get pantsed. You know, it would be real embarrassing if you got pantsed by the Mac Pantster, if you had a big bush, you know? Make sure that shit's trimmed up. You don't want me pantsing you and people laughing at your gigantic bush.
You know, it's the summer. You're out there, you're shaving pubes, you're eating seeds.
Eating seeds is the best time activity.
And you're spitting into cups. That's what the summer's all about.
That's what it's all about.
So go to manscaped.com, promo code MACANDGU, MACANDGU, MACANDGU. I suggest the perfect package. It's got the Lawnmower 3.0. Cleans you up real nice, real quick, too. If you're, you know, looking for like a nice, efficient machine, this is where it's at. Ball deodorant, ball toner. It's all there, baby.
Manscaped.com.
Hey, Mac, why don't we just go ahead and dive right in here?
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
Mac, in true fashion, the best way to start a mail time is to get the mail from you.
Yeah.
You actually sent in some ideas. You sent in some suggestions. These are your first episode suggestions in roughly 200 episodes.
In a very long time.
Okay. So you asked for top 10 family members. And I was curious what you meant at first. I said mine or yours.
Right.
But no, you're looking for like a general archetype.
Stereotypes.
Yes, a stereotype.
Right?
So who do you got?
And so, first of all, I couldn't get to 10. So that tells you right there it would have been a good episode.
But Who has 10 relatives?
A Mount Rushmore, maybe, of relatives. And obviously, it's the drunk uncle. He's got to make it. Everyone's got a drunk uncle. The uncle that, you know, old Jimmy over there in the corner is drinking too much. Just stay away from him. You might hear a slur out of his mouth. Then you got the Facebook aunt, right? The aunt that's all over Facebook politics that you just blocked, removed from friends. And then she asks you why you removed her from friends. Like, she's the absolute worst.
Taking pictures at funerals.
Sharing memes that are like 3 years old.
They're about dogs. They're all about dogs.
You have this subset of cousins. Most people have them where you're just, you wonder how you're related to these people, right? You got your rapper cousin. I don't want to name names, but that rings home for you. You got your cousin that's like always sneaking weed or alcohol somewhere, trying to pull you over into a room or something. You're like, dude, leave me alone. And then, of course, you got that cousin that like, they call you a cousin. It's like their third or fourth cousins. And you try to do the family tree and they don't even connect. And you're like, how are we related? Oh, fuck it, whatever. I guess we're cousins.
That is the absolute worst. And I think the worst culprit with that is your roommate, where he has so many fake cousins and it's so confusing. And then when they're telling you about it, you're like, wait, so you're not related. What are you talking about?
Right. And it's very bizarre. And especially once you introduce like cousins through marriage.
Yeah.
Like, do those count? Like, I guess. But it can get very, very, it become a real winding road there.
Mac, you also asked for the top 10 grocery store aisles.
But after I said this, I sort of regretted it because I came up with an immediate better idea. We should go shopping. Let's go shopping. Four of us. We go to the grocery store. We each have, I don't know, get five or six items, and the people can vote on who has the best shopping cart. That's an episode idea.
Are we doing a supermarket sweeps where we have to run through in 2 minutes?
No, because you could take your time. It's a nice, like, Tuesday morning. No one's in there. You get the run of the store. But I started thinking, like, if you were going to do grocery aisles, does the deli and bakery even count? Because if not, then it's slim pickings.
I like the crouton and salad dressing aisle.
I love the salad. So that's on there. The salad dressing sauces aisle is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, because sauce
I spend
is also
a lot of time, because I'll start with like a Sweet Baby Ray's or something like that, and then I'll see all the variations of the barbecue sauce or the buffalo sauces. And I'm like, you know what? I'll try that. Why not? Mm-hmm. I almost always buy like a new barbecue buffalo sauce when I go. I also am a huge fan, similar to that, is like the spice aisle. I'm always looking to spice up my chicken or my steak, and I'm like, let me try this. Let me try that. There's a lot of options there. And then, of course, you get the bread aisle. Who doesn't like an English muffin?
Bread is the best, man. Bread's the best.
But that's part of it, though, is like the better bread is from the bakery. So a lot of times, with the fresh, good bread, you go to the bakery there. And then, of course, a child's delight is the chips and crackers aisle. There's so many colors, so many different snacks. I think that if you went to the grocery store every single day of the year, you could eat a new chip or cracker from that aisle. I think that's how many there are.
Not to brag here, Mac, but I've become a bit of a charcuterie board master over the weekend. Ooh. I don't know if you saw the picture on Twitter.
I did. You did a very nice job.
I think I found my talent. Should I quit my job?
I'll say this. I don't think it's real hard to do what you did. It just takes time and effort.
Did you see my salami roses?
Did you do the cup method? Is that how you made them?
Either way, no, Russo Brothers in Waltham, you get all the stuff from there. It's amazing. If they want to sponsor us and give us beautiful cheeses and meats, and that's how they want to pay us, that's all. I'm all in on that.
I'll get paid in cheese and meats.
They pickle their own pickles, and they are delicious.
Speaking of pickles, I actually made fried chicken this week in the air fryer, and it came out pretty good.
Can
it
you explain this to me? So you pickle your chicken.
No. You brine the chicken in the pickle juice.
So that is called pickling. That is pickling. You brine something in vinegar. Yeah. You pickle it.
You don't get a ton of impact flavor-wise, but it makes the meat
softer.
Tender.
Yeah, it softens it.
And so it's not, if you've never tried that before, the next time you're doing some sort of homemade chicken, even if you're doing like a cutlet or something, try brining the chicken in pickle juice for 4 or 6 hours beforehand. It really makes a difference.
Here's the question. Pickles or cucumbers?
Pickles for me, easy.
Like cucumbers stink, right?
I like cukes.
I hate cukes.
But you're always eating cukes with something, right? You're not just
I am always so mad when I order a salad and it's just covered in cukes. Like
oh,
if there's
I love a lot of cukes.
If
in my
there's
salad.
3 or 4 cukes, you can pick them off or you can just eat them. It's not a big deal. When there's 100 cukes, you're not going to get them all.
I don't agree. I'm a big cuke and salad guy. Give me all the cukes.
Mac, you also had top 10 cheeses. Top 10 cheeses.
Yeah, this could actually be a heated debate between a lot of people. People are very passionate about cheese, and bread is another one. So I came up with a list of 9 that like immediately came to my head that I said, I got to have these. So we have an open window for the 10th here. I'll let you name the 10th.
I will take it.
But I'll go here. Parmesan, obviously, has got to be on there. You use grated Parmesan and fucking everything. Mozzarella sticks.
Can you pronounce it correctly?
Mozzarella.
Mozzarella.
Pizza, mozzarella's got all sorts of issues. The consistency of mozzarella is just unmatched. Mm-hmm. Feta, there's no such thing as too
feta
much feta.
Is so underrated.
Feta, I agree. It's so fucking underrated. And when we're talking about salads. Yep. Give me all the cukes and literally just cover it in a layer of feta, please.
What I used to do when I was younger, and say if I didn't have blue cheese and I wanted to, say, eat my chicken legs or chicken wings with like a spicy sauce, I would take buffalo sauce and then put feta in the buffalo sauce, and then I would dip the wings right in there.
I like that a lot. It's a good idea. It's real resourceful of you.
And also, if you go to some Greek places now, they have like crazy feta or spicy feta. That's fantastic,
too. Ooh, I've never tried that. Yeah. I'll have to give that a look.
Go to Greco. If Greco wants to sponsor us, this episode is if anyone wants to sponsor us, just contact us.
Yeah, that's the subtitle.
Literally, open door, anybody.
Good, we got cheddar. Everyone likes cheddar. It's great on burgers. It's just a really flavorful cheese.
I've heard that cheddar makes it better.
There you go. Simple as that. American cheese. American cheese is my pick for burgers and steak and cheese and whatnot. Yeah. It just melts so well, and it keeps that texture for a while. It doesn't harden like a lot of the other cheeses.
Here's what I do. I don't like to melt that cheese anymore. I like it cold and hard, regardless of what I'm eating it with.
Really?
So every day during this quarantine, Mac, literally every single day, I have had a bacon, egg, and cheese warm up the bread, but the cheese is cold.
I mean, I don't hate that. I don't hate. So what do you do, like, hypothetically, what would you do with a steak and cheese?
You want it soupy.
Yeah, I want it to move like molasses. Yeah. And this is one of the
and
things.
And then it'll move out of you like molasses, too.
Most
Where's the
places,
fart sounder?
Most pizza places get it wrong, but a good sub shop, a good steak sub shop like Carl's and Waltham,
If they want to sponsor us, go ahead.
You don't have to ask for extra cheese, but I always have to get extra cheese on my steak and cheese because I never put enough.
Yeah.
Goo, we've got a spicier, like a Monterey Pepper Jack. I really love for burgers too. I actually really like that for like breakfast dishes as well. If you're making like a scrambler type of situation, a nice pepper jack cheese is great for that with little peppers. Provolone is very good for my my cold subs.
Yeah.
I like that a lot there. We got blue cheese. You kind of mentioned it earlier. Blue cheese is just a must with wings. I like ranch as well with them, but you can't go wrong with blue cheese. And especially a really chunky blue cheese. I really want a chunky one. And then ricotta. Ricotta is so good, not only in pasta dishes, but goo, it is essential
pizza
to maybe the best dessert, right? A cannoli.
Or ricotta pie as well.
Yeah, or ricotta pie. Yeah.
So me and you, I think, have the same favorite slice of pizza, and that is a meatball with ricotta.
It's so good.
It is outstanding.
So good.
I stumbled upon this maybe almost 10 years ago, actually. How old am I?
Whoa.
Mac, where did the time go? I stumbled upon it maybe about 10 years ago, where there was always like the same leftover slices at the pizza shop I used to go to, Big Daddy's. If they want to sponsor us, contact us.
Yep.
And it was always meatball, ricotta, and onions. And I'm like, you know what? Let me try that. Let me see what's going on here.
Give that a whirl.
Had it once, loved it since.
It's so good. It's for whatever reason, that meat, that kind of meat, and Fiorella's does a sausage and ricotta pie, which is similar.
Mm-hmm.
That meat just mixes so well with the consistency of the ricotta and the creaminess of the ricotta. Everyone talks about Frank Pepe's white clam pizza. Their best pizza is the meatball and ricotta. It's fucking delicious.
All right, are we going to move on to actual people yet? No, we're not.
That's nine, by the way. That's nine cheeses.
Ten. So, here we go. Fromage. Yeah.
Fromage.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm so into fromage right now.
A couple folks on Twitter, Shime included, said I got to get Gruyere on there.
Oh, Gruyere's good too.
Gruyere. I've Gruyere's never had nice. It, so I can't rank it.
I've been on a real fromage kick lately. It's a lot like, so you cut it open. It's like a waxy rind on the outside. And then the inside is like this like beautiful, like buttery cheese. It's so good.
Like for like dipping crackers and shit like that?
You can literally. So what I did with my charcuterie bowl is I opened it up, I sliced it open, and then just took a butter knife and just hollowed it out. I made the wax outside like its own little bowl.
I like that. Yeah. Big fan of that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to try that. I'll do that this week.
All right, Mac. This comes in from the Birdman at Birdman_the, and he wants an updated list of Mac's gripes.
So I often forget that I have been keeping this list. I'm sure I'm missing someone on here or something on here I've talked about extensively. I should just add the mop grating scene in general on here from Zack Snyder's Justice League, but here
we
go.
So there's also someone who asked if they want you to have them come on so you guys can just talk mop for like an hour.
Good mop talk. Hashtag
it's good mop talk.
Of course, this list began and started with Rian Johnson after The Last Jedi. It is just the most disappointed I've ever been leaving the movie theater. Not angriest, but disappointed. I was, like, confused.
Yeah.
And it really took me a day or two to realize how much I fucking hated that movie, which was almost worse. So Rian Johnson just thinking he was smarter, and even if he is, quote-unquote, smarter than the average Star Wars fan, dude, we don't like what you like. We like what they've been giving us for fucking 60 years. Make your own shit on your own time. I don't know. Like, I don't want Rian Johnson ever touching anything I like ever again. So fuck you, Rian Johnson. And then we have two from The King of Kong, which is maybe the greatest documentary of all time. There are really good ones, but this actually, credit to hashtag dork for turning me on to this. There are two characters in that documentary named Billy Mitchell and Brian Koo, who are just real sons of bitches. Real sons of bitches, especially Koo, because Mitchell's actually good at what he does. Koo is like a hype man. He's a hype man that's super punchable. Get Brian Koo out of my face. Fuck Brian Koo. And then we have Jump Cut Online. I got into a bit of a Twitter beef a couple years ago with Jump Cut Online because I get real sick of people that like everything. If you like everything, you don't like anything. Like, where's the line? At some point, something has to be bad enough for you to say, hey, you know what? I fucking hated that. And so I spent like a day going through Jump Cut Online's website. And I'm like, I don't see a negative review on here. So I started tweeting at them. Every time they released something, I was like, oh, another positive review from Jump Cut. And after like two or three tweets, one of the writers must have had a real bad day, and he came at me. And it was me versus, I don't know, 15 Jump Cut Online writers for like a day and a half of Twitter.
Yep.
And I think I won that. I think I'm pretty sure I won that. 1 versus 15. They stink. Horrible website. Don't go there. Daniel Day-Lewis is on here because I never want to watch any of the movies he's in. Not because he's a bad actor. He's a great actor. He might be the greatest actor. But I never want to see any movie he's in. So I would like him to make a movie that I want to go see separate from his acting ability, right? I don't want to watch him knit dresses. That's not for me. Darren Aronofsky, sort of Ryan Johnson-like. He just thinks he's so smart. And that movie, Mother, was the biggest flaming pile of piece of shit I've ever seen. It was so fucking bad. Fuck you and your allegories. Rami Malek, goo. Rami Malek and the editor of Bohemian Rhapsody and everyone who likes Bohemian Rhapsody. Rami Malek can do one thing. He does it well. He's a smarmy little prick. Can play that character. What he can't do is play Freddie Mercury. I don't know why that happened. I'm still upset about it. Moreover, he doesn't sing in the movie.
Do you know if Sacha Baron Cohen was supposed to sing? Because he was supposed to be Freddie Mercury first. Was he supposed to sing
question.
In it?
It's a great question. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But the Academy apparently said that lip syncing, A+, you get an award. There you go. The next year, Taron Egerton plays Elton John, does a better job acting-wise, I think, than Malick did as Mercury.
Agreed.
And he sings. It's his actual voice in the whole movie. And that's fucking not only incredibly hard to do.
Ballsy.
The fact that we were sold on it, right? His singing didn't take you out of the movie, which I thought was amazing. He deserved an Oscar, not Rami Malek.
Also, the soundtrack with him singing is great, too.
It's great. Yeah. It's awesome. The editor of Bohemian Rhapsody, the editing won an Academy Award. And there is a scene, and you can find it on Twitter. I'll retweet it after the episode. There is a scene where they're meeting by the river there. I don't know. What is that? Is it a French river or some shit? And they're talking to their agent. And there is 35 cuts and a 40-second scene. And it's nauseating. It's horrible editing. It's terrible. It's so bad. They won an Oscar for that. And so after those last two things I just said, if you still like Bohemian Rhapsody, you're on this list too. The people who did not pay for Paula Cole's I Don't Want to Wait on Dawson's Creek. Anytime you've tried to stream Dawson's Creek for the last 15 years, it's had different music in there because they didn't want to pay Paula Cole for her music. That music is synonymous with the show, ruins fucking opening the show, really takes you out of it. Fuck you. And then Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder's the latest entry to the list. I can't. He has started this whole online movement where fans are demanding director's cuts of things. And I'll tell you right now, as someone who fucking loves movies, the beauty, the magic of movies, right, is you can get in, you can get out, and you can tell an awesome story in 2.5, sometimes 3 hours. Sometimes a director's cut is worth it. Most of the time, it's not. But if you want to start asking for 4.5-hour director's cuts, it's only going to water down the product. And you should be able, and we made this point a lot on the Justice League episode, you should be able to tell the story you want to tell in 2.5 hours. That's as simple as that. And if you can't, that means you're not good at your job. So fuck you, Zack Snyder.
Okay, so first off, a little housekeeping here. Apparently, and I just checked this out, fromage just means cheese in French, and it does.
Yeah.
That's true.
Formaggio is cheese in Italian.
But also, that's the name that's on the box of the dairy cheese that I buy. So fromage, give me fromage.
Probably a
and
French
then,
company.
Chris Bernard, he wants to know if you would have liked Rian Johnson's Star Wars if it came out before The Force Awakens or if he had done The Force Awakens and it wasn't set up, the trilogy was not set up by JJ.
Yeah, Chris, it's an appropriate question. I think it's obvious that if he was starting a Star Wars franchise, he really could have set something in motion there. But the reason why we hate him and what he did is because we were already going down this path. So you can't inherit that movie and decide to not go down that path and start a new path. Because now you've ruined not only your movie, the movie prior, and the next movie, right?
Yeah.
So Rian Johnson ruined that trilogy. It wasn't J.J. Abrams. It wasn't anyone else. It was Rian Johnson. Because maybe you wouldn't have loved where they were going with Abrams, but it would have been coherent. It wouldn't have been bad. And what Rian Johnson did, his wrinkle to it, it made it all bad. There was no saving that. And Abrams did his best in The Rise of Skywalker to retcon all that shit. There was just too much he had to do. Obviously, Rian Johnson probably could have made a very likable trilogy. He's obviously made movies before that I liked. What was it? What was the Joseph Gordon-Levitt one?
Yeah, Looper.
I loved that movie. That movie. But now I just can't. I can't get over it. I can't get over someone's decision at that high of a level to let him do that. So maybe blame Kathleen Kennedy, too, who allowed him to do whatever he wanted in the movie. Right? So she's at fault there too. It's so frustrating for you to come in halfway in not do anything that the first movie sets up and pretty much tell people you know better than them. You know what they like. They don't know what they like. And that's what he did in that movie.
All right, Mac, this one comes in from JDunks at JDunks1788. And his question's kind of confusing, but I'm just going to take the first half of it. And he wants to know a Mount Rushmore of Goofy Vault losers. So losers that made the Final Four of their respective years but did not win it. 1998's Dirty Work?
Over Saving Private Ryan.
One of my favorite comedies, so yes. Okay. Predator 1987, and I really liked The Princess Bride, but I really wanted to watch Predator that next week, and I was disappointed.
Predator would have been fun to review.
Nicolas Cage movies in 1997. Face Off and Con Air. It lost to Austin Powers. I love Austin Powers, obviously, but yeah, Nick sure. Cage, give me that. 8 Mile and Catch Me If You Can. They lost to Lord of the Rings. Obviously, Lord of the Rings is a better movie. Don't get me wrong. But the other two are two of my favorite movies.
Us reviewing 8 Mile could have been fun. Maybe that's what we do for my birthday. 8 Mile was a seminal moment in both of our lives.
I watched it with my dad, my sister, my old cousin. Like, it was a fucking
family time.
Who
was the first
time.
Person to speak up when Brittany Murphy was getting fucked in the factory?
No one. We sat there silently and chewed our $20 buckets of popcorn. And then finally, in 2006, Borat lost to The Departed.
That, and especially for our podcast, Borat not being in and The Departed winning is just such a slap in our face. Come on.
Bryant Engwar, at Bryant Engwar, he would like us to do a tribute show for the Fallen Boxers podcast. We already kind of did that, episode 44 on macandgoo.com. Rocky's Million Dollar Fighter is our pitch-perfect parody of their show. We would suggest that.
We paid homage to them. They definitely influenced us for a while. You know, we've had a lot of good conversations with Wesley and Marcus. I do think there could be a really funny bit there where we sort of do that again, except play Vitamin C's Graduation over it. As we go on, we remember all the times we...
You almost done?
...spent together.
There we go. So, speaking of the boxers, speaking of Marcus Estevez, he asked us, how much money did we make before taxes last year? So, I made a little bit less than 2019, which is kind of concerning, but it wasn't a whole lot, so I'm not that concerned.
Sneaky, one of the funniest lines from all of Step Brothers is when they ask that. We interview you. Oh, that could be fun. Like, how much money did you make before taxes last year? Marcus, I have no idea yet. I have not done my taxes. And I will do my taxes on the last day that possible because I've had to pay the last like 3 or 4 years. So I'm all set paying ASAP. I will pay the last day possible.
This one comes in from Ryan Davey at Rye the Girl. Is Leonardo DiCaprio a good actor or an actor who has been out in big budget movies? A discussion on his full range of acting. And I think he's a great actor. I think he's a fantastic actor.
I agree. I sort of don't like the idea of these like actors and directors teaming up for life. I don't always want that. Like, he's done it with Nolan, and he's done it with Scorsese.
Yeah.
I sort of get tired of that, so to that point I could see something. But pretty much every time we've seen him in a type of movie, a different type of movie, him doing something different, I've fucking loved it. The only DiCaprio movie I had absolutely zero desire to see was the one where he, like, lived in a bear.
Revenant. So
yeah, no desire to see that one.
I would say that over the years, he's shown a ton of range. Just between Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, he was fantastic in that. The Revenant. Catch Me If You Can is one of my favorite movies. And then say what you want about the movie, but he was awesome in The Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, he's so good in it. He's so good in it. That movie definitely gets worse every time you watch it. But there's some awesome scenes in there, mostly because of him and Jonah Hill.
Like,
and
he
obviously
made,
Marge Bob.
He made a truly despicable person awesome.
Yeah, it's
but
true.
Then after the movie, you have to think to yourself, wait, I shouldn't be rooting for this guy.
And you are. It's weird. It's a weird weird dichotomy. Goot, Titanic, Catch Me If You Can, Inception, Wolf of Wall Street, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He's fucking incredible in all five of those. And I don't see how you could see it any other way.
Okay, this one comes in from The Birdman, at Birdman_the. He asked for porn parodies, more specifically a Mac V. Goo style draft of characters from porn parodies. So if we're looking for porn parodies in general,
no,
speaking
I think he's saying we draft characters to build our own porn parody. I think that's what he wanted us to do.
Speaking of The Wolf of Wall Street, The Whore of Wall Street. That was
real creative
something.
One.
That was very good. Sure. And then one of the best ones of all time is Batman 69.
One of my dad's favorites, obviously, too.
Dude, your dad, he got me. He got me so good. I was at work. He sent it to me on Facebook. He's like, have you seen this episode? I'm like, let me check.
You seen this? You heard this?
And then I watched it, and Batman pulled out his gun. And then two that make me laugh, and we talked about this extensively on the old channel. That's 10-inch Mutant Ninja Turtles, and then the Assvengers.
The person who heard the word teenage and thought 10-inch,
yep.
Give that guy all the money. That's a fantastic title.
That one is so creative. I have all of the names memorized in my head still. Casey Bones, Leonardo, Raphalacy, Donatello, The Spreader, Master Sphincter.
Yeah, for me, I actually, I'm not into porn parodies at all. I know it's obviously got a real niche in the porn industry. I would love putting together my own porn parody.
Sorry, T-Murph 207 says Gilbert Grape, referring to Leo DiCaprio, and what I think of is Gilbert Gape.
Yeah, we're always working. I can't tell you how many times we turn a regular name or nickname into a porn name, so
yeah.
My mind is always functioning on a porn parody level. However, I don't really watch them.
No, and I mean, if we're going to go characters from those, I mean, Tori Black as Catwoman was just something else.
Again, you know what I said about Leo? Anything he does is mm-hmm. phenomenal. Anything Tori Black has ever done or touched has been phenomenal.
All right, Mac, this one comes in from Corey Padilla at Chingy CSP. In honor of DMX, Mac and Goo's Summer Jams, where you talk about the most likely to be found on your hot new banger CD or downloading on LimeWire or Kazaa. Because, of course, we were too young for Napster. So if we're looking at, like, right now, my favorite summer songs are Summertime by The Fresh Prince, DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Summertime.
And then Feels Like Summer by Childish Gambino. But if we're looking at, as a kid, as a teenager, I only listened to Seal, Kiss from a Rose, for 3 to 4 years.
My power, my pleasure, my pain.
So I guess that's it right there. And then also, when I was a teenager, I only listened to classic rock. So I didn't have any fun.
Yeah, I've never really been in, and there's a lot, this happens a lot with music fans, is I think they go in like these phases,
yeah.
What they love and the changes after a couple of years or with artists. For me, I was, like you probably, really influenced by my parents' tastes in music.
Yeah.
And so my mom loved Fleetwood Mac. My dad loved the Beatles, a lot of 70s stuff like Zeppelin, and also the Black Crowes, which I love. So I've been listening to that my whole life. And I also sprinkle, you know, all the top 40 stuff always. You know, I like rap too. Like Outkast and Eminem were big for me. Nas.
Yep.
Those three really helped molded my, you know, rap brain, I guess, for lack of a better term. I think the only real phase of music that I don't really like now that I liked when I was like 15 is like Linkin Park shit. I loved Linkin Park. I was a massive Linkin Park fan. And then Linkin Park also spawned a lot of copycat bands, sort of like what happened with Mumford. The Mumford sound hit and it spawned a lot of copycats. So I kind of hated everything that came after Linkin Park, like the Flowbots, shit like that. Like, so I'm sort of out on that, but of course, you know, Hybrid Theory still has a special place in my heart.
And of course, I mean, we grew up in Watertown, so we loved System of a Down.
Eating seeds is the best time activity.
This one comes in from Doc at Backcracker. And he wants movie pitches starring Rob Schneider. I say it's literally anything. Anywhere, anytime. It's always funny. Just Rob Schneider, anything. You have an actual pitch, though. So.
Rob Schneider as a recliner. If you could look behind me here, I've got the Blue's Clues living room set, and there's a chair back there. If you could imagine a movie where Rob Schneider has embodied a recliner, I don't know if it, you know, his body actually becomes that or his mind's just implanted in a recliner. And what happens in the movie, Goo, is Rob Schneider sort of plays a therapist. You sit down in his chair, and he talks you through all your problems. Rob Schneider as a recliner becomes your best friend. That's my Rob Schneider pitch.
So Rob Schneider is both the recliner that the patient is sitting on, but also the therapist.
Yeah.
So like the patient like walks in and they're like, where's this doctor? And they sit down on the chair and they're like, oh, what am I going to do? And he's like, what are you going to do? And they're like,
what I was grappling with.
And then they realize, it's a doctor. He's in the chair.
Right. What I was grappling with was, do we put a face on the chair? Is Rob Schneider's face
on the chair? If it's Rob Schneider, you got to do it. If it's Rob Schneider, you got
to
do it. Come
on. I'd have to see the CG on that. Or maybe we do practical effects and we actually stick him in a chair.
Or like maybe it's a chair, but then whenever the chair turns into a mirror, the mirror shows Rob Schneider looking back at the chair.
So now
you gotta have Rob Schneider involved.
Now the chair is a transformer, but it transforms into a mirror.
Do you see that $700 Transformers toy?
That transforms for you? You can't even do the transforming? That's fucking bullshit.
No, but you say
the best part of you having Transformers is transforming.
No, but you say like the key words and it listens and then it pops up and it changes.
Yeah, but changing the Transformer is the fun part of the Transformer.
Everything is the fun part of the Transformer. This one comes in from Brian Anguar at Brian Anguar, and he said, can you come up with a new Festivus with Dork, PCP, CMM, and TLDR? I know it's not the season, but airing the grievances is always fun. And I'll tell you right now, if it was today, over the past couple of weeks, I'm going nowhere near Fryer. He would burn my hair off.
I'm the opposite. I love it. All I want to do is crush Fryer. Because I like. It seems like he's got a little fire under his ass now. And in fact, Fryer and I are now releasing a new podcast next week called Catching Smoke. We want all the smoke. Come at us. We're going to roast you. It's Fryer's, I don't know, 15th podcast. That's what he's pitching next week. But I think now, especially since we have this week in Rossi's horrible bad takes, shit like that that's really keeping the roasting going year long, I think a year-end Festivus could be pretty good. Or even a summertime Festivus. I don't know.
This one comes in from Drew Keller, Helen DeKeller. Hashtag Dino Action. Do you have a power rankings of the 5 Jurassic Park movies? Yes, and it's actually quite easy. Park, World, Lost World, Kingdom, 3.
I standard your rankings for like 3 minutes just to try to be contrarian, and I couldn't do it. You have it right. That's the only ranking.
I mean, I guess you could argue maybe flipping World and Lost World, but World is way more fun. Lost World gets way too preachy. Lost World is so preachy, and it's... Yeah. And it's too much serious Vince Vaughn. And
Jurassic World, the first one with Chris Pratt and what's her face?
I mean, it's pretty much Jurassic Park, but with new characters, which is fine.
It's a perfect popcorn
movie. I like Jurassic
Park. It's a perfect popcorn movie. It's not meant to be, you know, groundbreaking in the way the first Jurassic Park was. You can't ever replicate that.
Jurassic Park 3 stinks, and a raptor talks. Fallen Kingdom... The new raptor, Indoraptor, is a fucking Looney Tunes character that tricks Buffalo Bill into thinking that he's sleeping, then he winks at the camera. Then, Lost World, Jeff Goldblum's daughter kicks a raptor through a window.
Yeah, well, she's been hitting the gym.
Gymnastics.
Taking those squats seriously.
All right, this next one comes in from Michael Douglas at The True MD. Why is Max so sour?
Ooh. You can call me Lemonhead, motherfucker.
This one comes in from 12-pack personnel at A Point in Life. Best series you have watched during COVID? And I guess we're just looking at, like, we've watched a bunch of new series, too. But, like, Ted Lasso, WandaVision, The Boys Season 2, The Mandalorian, those are all kind of spoken for. When I had my kid, a show that I would put on that was nice and easy to put in the background, didn't have to think too much because every episode is the exact same, is The Goldbergs.
It's a good show. Definitely a good network.
Also, I watched or I tried to watch the send-off to George Segal or Segal. Can someone check that for us, please? They had him in for one scene and then just put like a clip show at the end. That wasn't a good send-off. It was supposed to be like this big teary send-off. There was no send-off. I watched for the send-off and there was no send-off.
It wasn't that vital to the show.
So two shows that are still going on, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Awesome. Fantastic. And then Invincible. Also very good.
Yeah, I think Invincible still a lot of people haven't watched. It's free on Prime. I believe we are 4 episodes in or 5 episodes
in. Yeah, and that wraps up the week after The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So we'll do a standalone episode on that for episode 301.
It also releases on Fridays like Falcon and Winter Soldier. And I guess
TGIF, it's back.
I guess it's got a pretty long comic that's like already done. So if you're interested in the show, or if you watch the show and like it, go, I guess, find the book. Specifically, COVID has gotten me back into a couple shows here. I have watched a bunch of Survivor seasons on Paramount Plus because of COVID, because there's fucking nothing to do.
Yeah.
I haven't watched a season in a while, but that's what I was doing for like fucking 2 months straight. I finally dove into Last Chance U. Goo, you ever watch Last Chance U on Netflix?
I watched a bit of the football one.
Yeah, so there's 5 seasons of football.
Yeah.
The first 2 follow one junior college, the second 2 follow another, the 5th season follows a third, and then they just released Last Chance U, the basketball edition. If you don't know anything about like JUCO and how that works, it's actually, number one, informative, but it's fascinating to see the types of kids and players that go through these schools and try to get a second chance. The Circle was something that actually came out right before COVID hit on Netflix. I think it was January of last year. It might have even been 2. I don't fucking remember. But it's pretty interesting because the shit that they do in the circle is like how we've all lived our life for the last year, which is really interesting to think about. That's all I got here.
Okay, this one comes in from the other Billy D. I lost his Twitter handle. I am sorry, buddy. But he wants to know, Master of Disguise, and does it deserve the 1% that it has on the Rotten Tomato meter?
Is that true? It really is 1%? 1%.
I don't know. Wow. Who gave this a positive review? This deserves a zero. This is one of the worst movies ever made.
I get that, but there's like no movies that, like the movies that have zero aren't like real movies.
Bucky Larson's a real movie.
I'm shocked, honestly, that it's that low, as bad as that movie is. I could see like 11%, and especially because there's so many people that love Dana Carvey that mm-hmm. you would have thought he was friends with a couple critics.
You got to hold him to a higher standard. The comedy in this is terrible. And he takes a swipe at Mike Myers because, you know, he thinks that Mike Myers stole his Dr. Evil character. So he insults Shrek in this movie. Get out of my face.
This was my sister's movie for like 2 years. Favorite movie for like 2 years. Granted, she was like 6 years old, but Pistachio Disguise, you really hit home with her.
One might argue right now that I'm doing this show with the wrong Mac then. By the way, the mop comment earlier to hang out and talk mops, that was from Greg Story at Story Through Video. This next one comes in from Murph at TMurph207. Has Marvel run its course? Nope. And I think it's actually gotten stronger with these shows, and I want to see them do as many shows as possible.
I think you're right on it there. I think, you know, maybe to Murph's point, it might have run its course in terms of being the big spectacle that the Infinity Saga was. I don't think you can ever replicate that. I don't think anyone ever can. So in that sense, yes. But in another sense, I think they've sort of broken ground on a new thing with the television shows. They're building.
It's a water cooler show now. It's a completely water cooler every
universe.
Single time. Yep.
And so I definitely see, like, I like the shows less than movies, but if this is what they're doing, I'm obviously going to watch it. And so I don't think it's run its course. I actually think they're at the beginning of something new.
Can Star Wars be saved? Yes? Question mark?
So kind of what I was just speaking about there.
TV shows.
About Marvel. Yeah. I don't know if you could ever do another trilogy that isn't going to get fucking killed by fans. Because it's so divisive at this point because of what the last trilogy did. And even because of the prequel trilogy. I don't know if you could ever do a trilogy of movies again. Maybe keep going with the standalones like Rogue One that has
times
and things. Mm-hmm. And keep pursuing these shows. Yeah. I think there's an element of Star Wars, that Western element that The Mandalorian captures pretty well. I still think it could be done better than the Mandalorian. Obviously, The Mandalorian is a show about characters we didn't even know. And pretty much every Star Wars fan loves it. So I think that's, again, the way to go is the shows.
Best bread for a grilled cheese. And I am always a sucker for a sourdough. Specifically, if you go to Iggy's, get a nice Francese.
Yeah, sourdough's nice because it's just so thick and it's going to soak up that butter and just make a really, really nice grilled cheese. Not necessarily for grilled cheeses, but ciabatta and focaccia I love for sandwiches. And you're getting sandwiches from places. But realistically, like if I'm making a grilled cheese at home, I'm just buying the thickest white bread I can find in the store. It doesn't have to be
Isn't that your nickname? Thick white bread?
Thick white bread, boy. I love just a regular old white bread grilled cheese soaked in butter. And again, this is a perfect plug to, if you have not watched the movie Chef with Jon Favreau and John Leguizamo, the grilled cheese making scene in that movie is cum inducing. It is as good as porn.
Murph wants to know Texas toast.
Yeah, Texas toast, another good one. Nice thick white bread that
nice
absorbs
thick piece
the
of bread.
Butter well.
From at the Walking Ken 23, memes. That's it.
I said it, Ken. Fuck you.
I actually did think about this the other day, is most GIF-able shows, like the shows that have created the most GIFs. One that comes to mind, obviously, is like a New Girl. New Girl, I think, is known more for its GIFs than for its actual comedy now. Granted, the GIFs are based off their comedy.
That might be true. The Office has something for every situation.
Yeah.
Everything.
Parks and Rec, but specifically Jean Ralphio and Ben Wyatt. Oh, Ron Swanson and Andy. So you know what the whole show?
Well, yeah,
and
but the,
treat
so
yourself.
That, their GIFs are more character based humor stuff, whereas The Office's GIFs are relevant to a lot of real life situations, right? So.
And then one that's kind of crazy is The Simpsons have been on the air for what, 40 years almost now?
I think so, yeah. About as long as Star Wars. What,
and it's
years?
Really only created one truly memorable GIF. But is it the best GIF of all time? Homer walking backwards into the bush.
They got two. And Abe Simpson putting his hat on, and walking back. Those two are the most used on the entire internet.
So yeah, those are both very good, but for the entire span of the show to only have two great GIFs.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
This one comes in from B at 3R Degree Bernard. Okay, for real, best SNL character movies. And I assume just characters from SNL turned into a movie. Quick Mount Rushmore for you, Mac.
There's not even four good ones.
They aren't great. Wayne's World, MacGruber, A Night at the Roxbury, and It's Pat.
Are you telling me right now that you forgot about The Ladies' Man?
The Ladies' Man is so good, but is it better than It's Pat?
I mean, they both suck, but it's better than It's Pat. A Night at the Roxbury sucks, too. The only ones that don't suck, I would say, are MacGruber and Wayne's World. They're, like, clearly way better. And I guess you could put Wayne's World 2 on, even though I'm not a Wayne's World guy. And so, what would the fourth one be? What? There's not four good ones. There's probably three good ones.
I think I'm the fourth best movie. No, I think I'm the fourth best movie.
You are the only person on planet Earth that would have been able to do what you just did. Goo, for people listening and not watching, just rolled his desk chair back about 2 feet, turned around 180 degrees into his stack of DVDs, and pulled out It's Pat and The Ladies' Man.
No, I am the best movie that SNL has made. Score!
Here's A Night at the Roxbury. That was your worst impression by far, was A Night at the Roxbury.
Well, they don't really have any voices. They just bob their heads.
Hash King in the chat is asking a good question. What's better, MacGruber or Wayne's World?
I prefer Wayne's World, but MacGruber might have better laugh-out-loud jokes.
Yeah, I think MacGruber's funnier, and ultimately that's why you're going to watch the movie, so give me MacGruber.
All right, Mac, final one here, and this is a lightning round because it's coming in from Jill Brennan at Bree Jolm, and
always,
she sends him
you,
in Fast and Furious, and she always wraps up these shows here. So, very quickly, Mac, what would you have in your zombie apocalypse survivor kit? I would have a silver bullet, garlic, and a fire starter, and I would be horribly prepared because I got ready for the wrong monsters.
To just equal yours, I'll go three things as well, and it's important to keep in mind here that you may not necessarily have a car, so the things you bring, you gotta be able to carry, you know, in a backpack or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I went with like a machete axe, something like that.
Nice.
Something that can chop, maybe chop zombie heads, protect yourself. And then a good pair of like hiking boots, some high ankle boots that tie up, are going to last a couple years. You don't know where you're going to end up. You don't know what you're going to need to do. And hiking boots kind of give you a little bit of everything. And then like a rope tarp combo. And you use the rope for all sorts of stuff. The tarp you might need for shelter. So that's what I would go with.
Sorry, I'm just reading the DVD covers, the quotes on The Ladies' Man. It says, funniest comedy of the year. That's from Sean Edwards from Fox TV. There's no quote on A Night at the Roxbury. And the, here we go, from It's Pat, a comedy that proves love is a many-gendered thing.
Well, there you go. Ahead of its time, It's Pat, that's for sure.
Or horribly offensive, one of the two. All right, this one also comes in from Jill. 80s heartthrob power ranking, and Mac and I are from the 90s. So kind of tough.
Yeah, I would say if you want to, like, if I had to, off the top of my head, like James Gunn, Sean Gunn, Swayze, right? It might be Patrick Swayze was the number one guy.
Hunk of the 80s?
I'd probably rank him number one.
He's a hunk.
He feels more manlier than the other heartthrobs, so I'll go with him.
As opposed to like the, who are the kids? One of them's a real weirdo nowadays who looks like Michael Jackson. What?
Haim? The Corys?
Yeah, the Corys. Thank you. The Corys. They were heartthrobs.
Oh, that's a crazy poll. Number one in the 90s for me.
SNL, real quick. Blues Brothers. There's the fourth.
No.
You don't like Blues Brothers?
No, I don't.
Ah, you're stupid.
Topanga would be my number one option for the 90s if you want
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
To pick like the crushes.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
We did March Madness a couple of years
actually,
ago.
Actually, we discussed the other day in our group chat, brag, the Jessicas.
Mm.
The Jessica.
Yeah, the initial, but I mean, that was early 2000s, but the initial Jessica rankings went Simpson, Alba, Beale. I think you could have argued Alba at number one, but to me, Simpson was the clear one at her peak. And then I think it's now Beale, Alba, Simpson, or Alba, Beale, Simpson. Simpson's clearly three at this point. I guess it comes down to preference between Alba and Beale, but Alba and Beale have just aged like fine wine.
Favorite color? Red? Question.
I like a nice powder blue, goo, a nice soft blue. really does it for me.
It would have been cool if you were wearing a powder blue shirt right now. And that
I've
just
a powder blue Derwin James jersey in my closet.
I love Derwin James. I love him.
He's the best.
He is. Potato chip power ranking. My number one, I really love salt and vinegar.
This is maybe your worst take. Salt and vinegar are good. Listen, every once in a while, they really hit the spot for me.
You get a nice Italian
sandwich. But if you're ranking them,
they're
nowhere near
number
one.
You just get some salt and vinegar chips.
Nowhere near number one.
So good.
Not even
close. Give me some Vicky's. Give me some Cape Cod. You know what? Poppables, whatever those things are called. Pop chips.
I like them. There's a spot for them, but not at number one. I love barbecue. Like, you're just classic barbecue chip. A crunchy one. The Cape Cod has, like, a sweet mesquite barbecue that are fucking delicious. And then your classic, like, Lay's sour cream and cheddar were always my go-to as a kid. And for whatever reason, the residue left on your fingers after you ate those are almost better than the chips. And then I wanted to get a Dorito and a Pringle in here because I've spent a lot of time with both. The newer flavor of Doritos, the purple bag of Doritos, spicy sweet chili Doritos, it's the number one flavor. It's better than nacho cheese. It's better than Cool Ranch. Those are both great. Spicy sweet chili Doritos are the number one Doritos. I'll fight you on that. And then ranch Pringles. I don't love Pringles. Some of their flavors taste terrible. The pizza Pringles are horrible. But the ranch flavor of Pringles are really fucking good.
You know what's a good pizza-flavored chip or snack? Combos. Pizza combos.
Pizza combos are very good. I'm a combo fan. Yeah, I like combos.
Best way to eat potatoes.
So to me, it's obviously fries, I think. But if you're looking for like maximum potato eatage, probably mashed, right?
I'm looking for maximum potato eatage.
Yeah, so go mashed then.
But it depends. It has to be a good mashed potato. Otherwise, it's garbage.
See, to that point, I don't think there's such thing as a bad mashed potato. I've never had it. I've never experienced it.
Mac, best worst fast food fries.
Clearly, McDonald's is the number one.
Chick-fil-A also has good fries too.
Not salted enough. You have to put too much of your own salt on them. I do like the waffle fry.
Do you consider a tot to be a fry?
I don't know what you would classify it as if it isn't a fry. Is it just a potato treat?
A potato treat, yes. And actually, they were talking about best ways to eat French fries on the This Is Important podcast. That's the Workaholics podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam Devine loves crinkle cut French fries. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. And especially, and this is why they do all these ridge style chips, the crinkle cuts take the sauce that you're dipping it in really well, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really dip my fries in anything, but a lot of people love like mounds of ketchup with fries. That's not for me, but you know, to each their own.
But also, Mac, they said that the worst fry is the steakhouse fry, thick potato fry.
100% agree. If you want a steakhouse fry, just go and eat mashed potatoes because it's a better version of what the steak fry is doing. I really like a nice like spicy fry or like a curly fry, that sort of Cajun style. And Five Guys has great Cajun fries. Popeyes has great Cajun fries.
Yeah.
But if you want to talk like fast food places with bad fries, Wendy's has the worst fries out of any of them.
And then finally, the age-old debate, pen or pencil. I am so in on pencils. And you want to know why?
I couldn't be further in on pen.
They have erasers. And I love that. You can erase stuff.
I don't know what you would need to erase. Just cross it out, scribble it out, right? What are you doing?
I have a giant pad of paper here that's filled with notes.
Line.
I cross things out with the pencil, too, but I like to erase it.
The pen just looks crisp, man. Like, you with pencil is like 780p. Me with pen is like 4K. Pen all the way.
I'm fine being a nice 480i. That's it. That's all we got.
That's the mail time.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
Oh, my God, guys. All right, if you made it to this point in the podcast, please send us a GIF of your favorite hashtag from the show. I know that Hash King over here, he's saying hashtag potato treat. Let's get it trending.
So I would have guessed until that hashtag that Hash King was the king of hash or hash browns. Now I'm thinking he's the king of hashtags.
Is hash browns a French fry?
I guess if tots are, hash browns would have to be. And they would be in the running. A good hash brown's up there with anything. I've made this argument, maybe to deaf ears, but the best McDonald's hash brown is better than the best McDonald's fry.
Ooh, I don't know if I agree with this. McDonald's has some good French fries.
Yeah, they sure do, and they'll get the best hash browns.
They are very good.
But sometimes the hash browns, like if they were cooked an hour ago, they're not that good.
All right, Mac, where can you find us?
You can find us on Twitter and on Instagram at Mac and Goo Podcast. On every other platform, we are Mac ampersand Goo. It's Mac Shift 7 Goo. That includes Facebook, Stitcher, TuneIn, CastBox, Spreaker, Google Play,
iHeartRadio.
We're on Spreaker. You can find us there too. But most importantly, Apple Podcasts, folks. You get on there, subscribe to us, rate us, review us 5 stars. If you do that, Goo will mail you a free Macagoo t-shirt from the folks over at Watertown Sportswear. That's Watertown Sportswear on 34 Mud Auburn Street in Watertown Square. That's Watertown, Massachusetts. WatertownSportswear.com, Watertown Sportswear, expert screen printing and embroidery.
I have a hot dog pillow here. This is actually nice from pillow. The Boxers. This was
that's
a
right.
very nice gift from
that's
them.
Right.
TPublic.com merch. Guys, you want to join us next week. 299 episodes in the making. We're celebrating our 300th episode on episode 299.
Because we don't have any other ideas for 299.
Well, because we have nothing else planned for next week. And then the next 3 weeks is Falcon and Winter Soldier, then Invincible,
okay.
And then a smorgasbord because Mortal Kombat's coming out. Plus, there's been like 5 other movies I want to talk about.
Okay.
Mainly Thunder Force.
Yeah, I will not be watching a second of that. In fact, if you find someone else that watched it,
they can gladly take my spot. Thunder Force is the laziest movie I have ever seen in my life.
Wow, that is saying something because you watch a lot of real bad movies.
It seems like it was written in 1997.
And the script just got passed along, and now... The movie doesn't have cell phones in it.
And like the most intriguing thing about the movie didn't even necessarily get a chuckle out of me, but like it raised my eyebrow. Like what's happening here? And that is that Jason Bateman is half crab, so he has crab arms.
So it's another Bateman and McCarthy vehicle, huh?
Spoiler alert, they go ahead and have the sacks.
Whoa.
And he's got little pinchers. He's got crab arms.
Spoiler. So would you prefer that to another crustacean movie, The Lobster? Did you watch The Lobster?
I did. The Lobster was good, wasn't it?
Lobster was very good.
The Lobster was great.
Yeah. I only watched because of The Boxers.
And it is at the bottom of my list. Thunder Force, bottom of my 2021 list.
What was the prior low bar?
It is worse than Yes Day. And Yes Day is trash.
What is Yes Day? Stop
that
watching
is
these
a
movies.
Jennifer Gardner joint.
Oh.
She has a rule in her house, you know, for one day in the year, you have to say yes to everything that your kids want to do.
Oh, this is such... See, that's a movie that should have been made in 1996, too. Fuck that movie.
And then it's also worse than Coming to America.
You didn't hate Coming to America, though, did you?
I did.
You did.
Was wildly bored. But the issue was, and this is what we discussed with the Boxers, or not the Boxers, with Dork, of like, oh, should we do an episode on this? And there's not... enough technically wrong with the movie. It's just incredibly boring and incredibly unfunny.
Worst kind of movie.
All right, so that'll do it for this episode. Come back next week for our 300th episode on 299. Tuesdays are Goose Days. I abuse kangaroos.
Bye.
Please flip the cassette over to side B to continue the adventure.